is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between Rest and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break, tell it, breathe me. Way I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Dayton, I say up and running. Charlie Brown say my show boy don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only Jah that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through for a season, season. Godless, I go weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome yet again to Guardian Radio. I am your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, or MP. And again, it's always a pleasure to be your host on this wonderful station. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. Inside the Inner City is a show that comes on every Friday, except holidays. And we talk about the problems that we face in this country and what the solutions are. Because as we take a look at our wonderful Nassau, which is supposed to be a Christian nation, meaning that we should have Christian values and virtues. And it means that also that we should leave no one behind. In the Bahamas today, we are one of the richest Caribbean countries in the world. Many would say we are not in the Caribbean. And there are a lot of opportunities here in Nassau, New Providence. But the opportunities seems to be staying in one particular spot, and it's slowly trickling down to the lesser population, means the voters, the next generation, the less fortunate, the persons who are struggling to pay their bills. Many of them don't have houses. Some of them are living day to day. Some of them are at rest, single parent. We have a society now where everyone is doing what they feel is right. And I think that is it was something that was building up in the last 50 years in the country. And now we are seeing full chaos in our country. And it's looking real bad for us when it comes to immigration, when it comes to crime, when it comes to corruption. It seems that even though our nation is supposed to be a Christian nation, I don't think it's not so Christian about us here in National Providence. Now, mind you, there are many good people who are in the church who are really good, good citizens who uphold the integrity of being a Christian. You know, they're doing their due, and utmost respect to them. But for the overall, when it comes to what is happening in our country, and we so believe in God, we so believe in Jesus, and they say, you know, pray to God and all the problems will be solved. Many people do, and some of their problems get solved. But again, the church itself was built on the fundamentals of, again, leaving no one behind. That was the church obligation was. It was always to gather the tithes, gather it up, and disperse it to those in need. You know, gather from the wealthy Christians. Gather from them who sit down in the front row seats, the second row seats, understanding that there are people out there who are hurting real bad in the country. And our job is, once we succeed, and succeeding is like it's like an example I'm going to give. We had a young gentleman by the name of V.J. Edgecombe who fulfilled his dream of becoming a professional NBA player. He has accomplished that. But when you look at what he had gone through to get where he is, you would see that his inspiration was Buddy Hield. You know, you saw a photo of him when he was young, meeting Buddy. And, you know, Buddy himself was on his way to the NBA, or could have been in the NBA in that photo. But regardless, I think he was in the NBA, but regardless of college. But regardless, if he was in college or in the NBA, just inspired that young guy, you know. And you never know what Buddy did for him personally and financially, you know. Some of his earnings could have gone to sending him funds to get better training equipment. And just look how it turned out. Now he is making like close to what it is, I think, $40 million for a rookie contract. And that's uplifting. And there are many cases like that. Chris Brown, you know, all the great athletes, you know, they give back and to the next generation. Some of them don't need financially. Some of them do by prep talking. Some do by, you know, turning them on to other players and trainers who could assist them in getting better at whatever they're doing. You know, and we have really failed in this country, you know, besides we having election around the corner, as we gear up for the election. But right now, for me, who living in the city community, and I look at the progress the country's making. You know, the country is making great progress in many major developments. You know, when it goes to Exuma, Freeport, Honorable Prime Minister, he has got a lot of infrastructure in the buildings, and you know, so it's looking bright as business-wise for the country, you know, and a lot of people are benefiting from that. But we are not looking at the major problem. For the few who are benefiting, and the country look good as far as investments, you know, you're seeing a lot of big multi-million dollar investments. Honorable Chester Cooper, Deputy Prime Minister and Member of Parliament for the Exuma Keys, he is doing a fantastic job of developing his constituency. The Prime Minister himself, they are doing an awesome job as far as getting investors to come and invest in the Bahamas. But we are not really, really seeing the dangers that we are in. I've been seeing the dangers a very long time in the country. And some of the dangers we're not paying attention to, even though the Coalition of Independence or the Free National Movement, the Coalition of Independence led by Lincoln Bean, the opposition is led by the Honorable Michael Pintard, and the PLP, which is the governing party of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, is led by the Honorable Brave Davis, who's the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. That is all good. And as they go into this election season, looking to either become the next Prime Minister of this wonderful country, which is in decay inside, it's much more than just investment, okay? All of our lives are at stake, Bahamian people. Why is there not uproar when you're seeing statistics like 1 in 5 teens has attempted suicide or suicidal thoughts and self-harm triple as loneliness doubles, okay? People right now feel that there's no one there for them. You know, we say we're a Christian nation. You know, there are people out there who don't have nobody. You know, there are people whose bodies are in the morgue, and no one has yet come to claim their bodies. Maybe it's their judgment for not being a good human being. You know, some people, you know, I don't know. Or some people go, then they give the life to help others, and people turn their back on them, and, you know, I don't know. But all I can say, if you're not taking 1 in 5 teens has attempted suicide, it means the country is deteriorating. So I'd read in the Nassau Guardian, let me read this. Among a list of alarming trends among teens revealed in the Ministry of Health's Global School Health Report 2025, the most concerning revelation was that 1 in 5 Bahamian students between the ages of 13 and 18 have attempted suicide, and 1 in 4 men have contemplated on committing suicide. The results of the survey of 2,213 students in 25 public and private schools across 8 islands, New Providence, Grand Bahama, Abaco, Andres, the Berry Islands, Lutra, Exuma, and Anagua, were announced yesterday during a press conference at the office of the Prime Minister. Dr. Moxie from the Ministry of Health Policy Unit said the data should stop Bahamians in their tracks, as she warned that the health and wellness of teens has worsened dramatically as a whole. The findings present a stark and sobering truth. Our teens are facing more complex, more dangerous, and more emotionally burdensome realities that any generation has faced before. You see, excuse my language, Brave Davis, Michael Pintard, Lincoln Bean. You guys don't know what y'all are really fighting for. And to the churches, you guys, and again, they're good churches. They're good people in the churches. Don't get offended. I'm not speaking with you guys. If you're doing what you're supposed to do as a Christian and as a church, this is not for you. Okay? This is not for you. Okay? This 1 in 5 teens attempting suicide, mind you, if we won't put it like this, the PLP, the FNM, and the Coalition of Independence. Okay? So, it's not one party is being affected. I'm just coming from this angle. Okay? That's, we're talking about Bahamian at large living here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. All of them combined, the PLP teens, the FNM teens, and the Coalition of Independent teens. Okay? Come to stand the one thing. Bahamians. The doctor. Mind you, let me read this again. Listen. So, you're doing good governance, Prime Minister, Mr. Honorable Brave Davis. Like I said, I don't think he's a bad person. I think that, you know, but I don't think you guys understand what really is going on in your country that you guys say that you want to fix and that you guys say that you care for. I don't think y'all read the newspaper. I don't think y'all are not listening to y'all consultants who y'all are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to get consultancy on statistics like this. See, many people would read the newspaper. These the statistics that I know that are affecting our country that leads to crime, okay, which I know starts from poverty, okay, broken homes. And I know all these things that have been happening in the country, it is connected. And we are not taking it serious. Let me read this again. Listen, Bahamas, and listen to the world again. The data shows a medical health crisis amongst teens. Teens, people, listen. You know what's teens? 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and then 18. Any one of you, wherever those ages, aren't they the most vulnerable years of your life, where you get breaking? You know, if you're a young female, or you're a male, you want to get breaking. You practice unprotected sex at an early age. You start to go to the nightclubs and sneak out. Okay, you start to take drugs. Start to hang with bad company. You know, this is the adolescent stage of your life where you are the most vulnerable. In our country, even though they have these statistics, okay, they're not doing enough to pay attention. This is supposed to be a national crisis in the country where we see that we are in big trouble. Our next statistics. Yes, I'm a part of a couple organization in government. You know, I work and give free voluntary consulting to many governments over the years. I was never paid. I work with Dr. David Allen and Dr. Kiva Battle at the Ministry of National Security under the Honorable Wayne Monroe, who is the Minister of National Security. And, you know, I do criticize Mr. Monroe, not on everything he does, but the things that I know that he can do better as a minister. But I work with the organization because I like to give my input and find information when it comes to getting the research. And Kiva Battle and Dr. David Allen, they do a tremendously good job of gathering information from various different consultants from various different government departments. And then they have a guy like me from the inner city community, a part of the board, and I give my input from my experience and the experience what I've witnessed happen in our country, which is real life. And I apply it when I have my chance to speak with Dr. David Allen Kiva Battle, because we meet every month at the Ministry of National Security. Okay? And they show these data reports. And some of the data reports indicate also that per capita you know, with over, with 100,000 persons, we have 100 murders per year. You know what that means? By the World Health Organization, you know what they call that? They call that a conflict zone. There's 2 points I'm making. 1 in 5 teens. I talked with David Allen. That's 2 points. Okay? And I'm talking about the statistic now where they say in the Bahamas, with 100 murders, with a population of over 100,000 persons, we are a conflict zone. Jamaica has a higher murder rate than us, right? Because they have millions of people. The Bahamas, worse than Jamaica. Because we only 21 by 7 and we have 700 islands. You understand what I'm saying? Nassau is a parish in Jamaica. Okay? It's a parish. And they have more. They might have more people living in that parish than they have living in Nassau. But let's say a parish in Jamaica is like more than 21 miles, if I'm correct. Or might be small, but I'm just saying. And Jamaica has millions of people. And the Bahamas outranking Jamaica. Sometimes Jamaica finishes with about 1,000 murders per year or a little more, right? Yeah. While Bahamas less, and Jamaica has a population of a couple million, okay? And their land mass is vast, okay? Nassau's only 21 by 7, and then our largest island is Andros, okay? But we're separated by water. But Jamaica alone could probably have 4 of those family islands in one, or 5 of those family islands in one, and the population is extremely high. And our murder rate, if you look at it per capita, right, be worse in Jamaica, okay? Next statistics, all right? Miles LaRota, he was speaking. And, you know, he was talking on some issues. And he himself seems like he don't really understand what's going on. You know, I wish I could have played the clip, but I was a little late today. And I had time to really get myself organized because I was very busy this week. But I remember why some points I wanted to talk about today. And it seems like he himself, like, kind of don't really know the problems being in people facing in the country. But nevertheless, you know, he's trying. But our leaders, they don't know what is going on in our country. The young people in this country, the teenagers, don't have no future. At night, young people run the streets. The Prime Minister the other day, the Honorable Prime Minister Brave Davis, he was speaking to a pastoral program. And one of the issues he spoke on, is he saying that the pastors themselves need to be more engaged on assisting. Now, I don't understand this. You know, all this crap going on in our country, why would the Prime Minister going to the pastoral, right, conference or event, and he was one of the guest speakers, he was the guest speaker, and he was addressing them, and he's saying that they need to be more involved in their communities and blah, 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 and this and blah, blah. But that's the church. I thought that was the church job. I don't think the Prime Minister needs to be instructing them to do these things. So what has the church, again, I'm not talking about the church that are doing their part. So this is not for you guys. But the Prime Minister was saying get more involved. Meaning? So what the church been doing all this time, and all this crime, all this rape, sexual assault going on, where's the church? You know, for the churches out there who are doing a good job, like I said, this here is not for you guys. Y'all just turning a deaf ear to this. You know, this is not for you guys. This is for the set out there who saying they're Christians, okay, and they care about the bombers. Are y'all reading the newspaper? The other day, Ministry of Social Service gave us statistics about child abuse. It's high in the country. Again, the next statistics. High again. Rest up, Raw. All the statistics are there to show you we are deteriorating. The woman saying, let me read this. Call like you come right now. Listen. This, the government, right? This is the government official. Let me read this again. A health policy unit said that the daughter should stop behemoths in their tracks. She's trying to say, we should stop everything we do in this country and pay attention. Okay? That's what this is. I ain't see one pastor on the TV. I ain't see no prime minister. I ain't see no opposition leader. I ain't see nobody. Everyone talking about the Haitian this and who do this and who do that. Y'all ain't see what's going on, eh? Huh? Play politics in this. Huh? Your own personal child could be the next victim. All of us. Let me just read this again. Call us, they come to y'all right now. Listen again. She said, and she warned that the health and wellness of teens has worsened dramatically. As a whole, the finding presents a stark and sobering truth. Our teens are facing more complex means. They sissying around. They don't listen to nobody. They ain't get no guidance. That's why they dying so young. They catching sexually transmitted diseases. If they had the proper education and know about having sex, and sex is dangerous, and that you should grow yourself, get your proper education, go to schooling once you get a proper assistance to wait your turn and plan your future. Think about getting married, or if you're in a boyfriend, girlfriend relationship, understand that grow together, build together, right? Then during that, they ain't getting no guidance out there. All right? And listen again, I call it coming right now. And the finding present a spark and sobering truth. Our teens are facing more complex, more dangerous, means the sex, suicide, and more emotionally means that they don't know that me and you in a relationship at 14, 15, and you break up with me and you hate me, dying end of the world. There's millions of women out there. There are millions of men out there. So you don't need to go out there as a woman, you know, to think that's the end of the world because the person rejected you and break your heart. There's a million women out there. There's a million men out there. And life goes on. Time heals. When someone break your heart, you don't rush yourself into no next relationship. Give yourself some time to heal. We need to teach our kids these things. We don't have no program like this. And you have the woman say, I come and I call her. She say, our teens has worsened. Go ahead, call her.
Good afternoon.
Good night to you.
How you doing, man?
I'm fine, sir.
Good, you looking for the church. I'm out to basically quell, like, this evil that's going on in this town. You looking for the church?
I ain't looking for no church.
You say where the church is?
I say where the church is. That's what the church is supposed to do.
You.
I ain't looking for no church.
Look at secret places to find the church, man. First, you got to find the preacher. The preacher and the church, right?
Yes, sir.
You really got to check around good. But looking at them politicians back walking, I think they hiding there.
Now, we getting the point now. Because I saw one other day on the platform talking about the party and me should do this, the brave. There's no disrespect to the prime minister, but these pastors, them, they twisted their mind. They trying to carry all us to hell. Go ahead, call them.
They're looking to get money from politicians to build, to get free land grant, this and that, and to, you know, basically keep them floating.
Brave Davis.
You didn't expect the church to say nothing, all them quietly for the next 4 months.
Yeah.
Hey, Squidgy.
Yes, sir.
When last you been on Gladstone Road?
I passed in a little while. What's going on with the church?
Man, the church is nothing but hypocrisy, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you already got one church, but see, but I'm talking about at least 40,000 square feet, right? Mm-hmm. Right? It's huge, right? and too lot away from that. Uh-huh. Man, hold on, man. I've been in a bigger church than you. Man, these people got to stop. There's people coming from the sinners going inside them place. Huh? Hey, but Scrooge.
Mm.
Hello?
I'm listening.
Yeah. Now, in reference to you mentioned earlier that we ain't in the Caribbean, we are not in the Caribbean. You realize that, right?
I know we ain't, but I know
we ain't. We're in the West
Indies. Hemisphere.
We keep in bad company.
Who keep
Hello?
Who keep in bad company?
Well, I mean, if you, hold on, man. If we in the West Indies and we're going to join up at a CARICOM, we ain't belong with you. Know, we ain't, I mean, that even is not in your right mind. You can even think about even joining that because you ain't in that state.
Mm.
But you know the irony?
Yes, sir.
We joined CARICOM from 1983,
mm-hmm.
10 years after independence.
Uh-huh.
That may be with CARICOM for 42 years, right?
Yes, sir.
But notice if we look back in time, right?
Yes, sir.
The best years and when the Bahamas was really, really booming was when?
Mm.
When?
Go ahead, you talking.
Man, hold on, man. From independence up right up to about the first 10, 15 years after that, we start climbing down. Do mind all these hotels coming around? Mm-hmm. Because guess what? From the time when we taken the land and you could sell it to the foreigners and they could put up a hotel and then is everything would go through government is 51% and we getting 49%. We selling everything we have. Hello? Hello?
You talking, boss? I can't. I can't. Don't try. Listen, you boss. I with you, but I can't. You don't. Yeah, I know, but don't try to get me to go. I you gotta speak. You know, don't try. Don't
you celebrate independence a couple of days, right?
Yeah.
You realize what independence means?
What independence means?
To be independent, not independent.
Mm-hmm.
Independent of other people, other nations. But we got to even grow no food, and we gotta feed ourselves nothing.
Well, you're completely right. All right.
In Africa, right?
Yeah.
You say Africa ain't understanding, right? They got everything going on in there. They building cars, building everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Name one thing industrious that we did in the Bahamas other than cars, something with wood. Name one thing we make. We don't do no metallurgy or nothing. All right? And you know what? If you drive there by Araki, right? Just off the past Araki heading into town, right?
Yeah, we got something.
You see Fort Cannon on the side of the road?
Yeah. Let me answer your question, man. Let me answer your question.
Yeah.
You said we don't manufacture nothing, and we don't.
I know.
Yes, we do. We have some that we.
No tree.
Listen. Come a chance, man. You don't come a chance. Yeah. This is what we manufacture. We manufacture politicians to become millionaires. We manufacture pastors become millionaires, and lead the sheep astray.
Yeah. And broke, disorientated.
Mm-hmm. So we do manufacture, and we manufacture corruption.
Yeah.
We manufacture poverty. We manufacture hate. That's what we manufacturing.
The Constitution ain't got integrity in it. That's why we don't have none of it.
No.
They ain't put one word of integrity
no.
in our Constitution.
The last set of decent people in this land who I know about, who I read about, is Edmund Moxey, late great Edmund Moxey, Mr. Carlton Francis, Mr. Sir Ronald Fox, and who gave up a blank check in order to make the PLP, the government of the country, and once that was arranged, the deal was to give a square deal, which never happened. So they're the last set of decent people that I know about in Bahamian history. The last set of decent people with integrity and who put the people before everybody.
Yeah, you know about that.
Some of the most decent set of Bahamians in the history of the country.
Hey, Scrooge, look at how bad it is, right? Look at how bad it is. You see the season right now, full season, right? You know how foolish it is, be? These persons who buy into the city want the service and everything, right?
Yeah, they serve now.
They come around, you see them and everything, right? And they tell you a story, right?
Yes, sir.
And you know what? You take that in like a hungry fish.
Yes, I get my next
one piece a day hanging in there, everyone trying to bite at the same time, right?
Yes, sir. Call that coming
know,
right
at
now.
At the end of the day, right? You know you get.
Yes, sir.
You get tricked, man.
Yes, sir.
You get tricked.
Yes, sir.
You know what it really is?
I get my next call on the line, so you can do it up.
Yeah, yeah. For people, I mean, it's like, these people you don't know, right? They come with you, they charm you, they tell you some good things, and you know what? You believe it, right? And you know what? At the end of the day, right? It's about all of us who will lose, because guess what? That person only want to get in.
Yes.
In this life, right? You got to think carefully who you empower.
Yes.
Because guess what? These people, they only want to get the power. Once they get the power, they don't care about nothing. They are ruthless. Mm.
Yeah.
Enjoy your day, Scrooge, man.
Thank you very much for calling. And you know, again, he talk about it, say we're independent. Okay. Here's the next thing. I was listening to the Minister of Health, and the caller just made a good point. Caller, come to you right now. Give me 1 second, I just want to make this point. I couldn't believe it. The Bahamas government has agreed to re-sign the Cuban doctors and nurses that are in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. And I think, you know, they serve as a great purpose, because they really know how to deal with Bahamians. They know about the medical profession. And also, they come here to make a good living, but their hospitality is great, right? And then when I listen, Dr. Dowell say they are waiting on a response from the U.S. government, because the Cuban doctors and nurses want to resign here with new negotiation. But the Bahamas government agreed to it, but they are asking consent from the U.S. So they want to get consent from the U.S. if it's all right to resign these Cuban doctors. And I thought we was an independent country. Again, I know we're not an independent country, but again, that shows you, if we have to wait to get an answer from the U.S. government on a decision we're going to make here in the Bahamas, it's crazy. We have to wait for them to respond if we're going to give the Cuban doctors and nurses a new contract. Crazy. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside NSC on Guardian Radio.
Hey, a pleasure. Good evening. I'm Scrooge. Happy National Pride Day to you.
Thank you.
That is called geopolitics.
Geopolitics.
You know, it's called the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rule. And the U.S. believes that they are the ones with all the gold, so they make the rules.
Yes, sir.
And we are just a little dot on their backside, so they don't really care about us. They figure they can beat us into submission, you know, whatever. That has been their policy from the 1800s with the Monroe's Doctrine. But what I call about Scrooge is something, you know, that money, what they was given, won the monker for doing nothing. They might as well give you some of that, man. They might as well pay you as to the, because he was, according to the minister, he was a contracted worker with car and all kind of things. I don't know, Christ seemed to run into since he was there.
Yes, sir.
You know what he did?
I can't say, you know. I know. Yes, probably. He's a friend of the Minister of National Security, so you have to make some money. You know.
The other thing, the issue with the church. Scrooge, let me just tell you something. I go to church every Sunday, right?
Yes, sir.
I put in my tithes and my offering. People don't understand. Where the church is supposed to get money from to do these things, Scrooge? People don't understand that the church money is the people's money, you know.
Yes, sir.
We come together as a community.
Yes.
We give our tithe and offering.
Yes.
And on. And Pastor, we ought to take care of our own first before we go there talking about trying to save other people.
Ooh.
Okay? The Bible says, first, you got to look out for those who are out of the household of faith.
Ooh,
and people have a misconception about what the church ain't doing in the church. How the church supposed to get the money from? Where the church supposed to get the money from, Scrooge? If we don't give the money, where the money don't come from heaven, you know. These are people who go there and they work and they hustle and they come and they bring it in the church and so that they, you know, first of all, they try to fulfill what the word of God says, to bring the tithes and the house so that God will bless you, okay? And we are blessed to be a blessing. But people have this misconception about what the church is supposed to do. And when they get their money, they don't bring them to the church. They go there, they bust it up, they do whatever they want to do, and then they come running to the church, looking for the church to come and to rescue them. I'm not saying that the church is not supposed to help and to guide and whatnot, but that the church is for the believers first.
Ooh.
It's called an ecclesia. It's called, the church is for the believers.
So the church is for the believers.
Right.
Wow.
It is. Paul, if you read the gospel, all of the gospel written, wrote them to various churches. To the believer.
That's something new to me. That's a new learning experience for me, sir. Wow. Awesome.
See, that's the church new. Means the call. We are the call out of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, but because of what God has done for us, we go there and we share that.
Yes.
And you know, if you see somebody who is naked, you help and you clothe and whatever it is. Right. But these things take resources.
Mm.
When the early church started, they sold their property, they sold their business, and they brought it to the church so that everybody...
Every need was met.
There was no lack. But that came from among themselves, first of all, for the believers themselves who were part of that church.
Yes.
Okay, so the church is for the believers first, okay? And the other, the world and whatnot comes next. Oh. I just want to set the record straight. People feel like we got the church got a bunch of money, and we could be supposed to be doing this and doing that. The church, we are made up of human beings too, and we have limited resources. The government don't give the church no money.
Mm.
The government don't fund the churches like that. They never give church little breaks or whatever, one or two little breaks. Yeah, but the government don't fund the church.
Mm.
Okay, so you know, there they are. That's all I want to add to the conversation.
Okay.
But listen, keep on doing what you're doing. And I hope that the Minister of National Security
would
pay you for your service, man, for your expertise. You may not have degrees and whatever. You don't need no degree. You don't need a title to be a leader.
And so
your experience is enough for you to be qualified. Rodney Moncur, as far as I know, he had no degree.
Yes,
sir. He had a degree, the first degree on the thermometer, but he was getting paid $5,000-$6,000 and riding around the car, doing a bunch of foods for them, even though that's my friend. But anyhow, Scrooge, enjoy the rest of your weekend, buddy.
Thank you very much, sir. And it's good to hear the next side of the story, you know. It's good to have this conversation. I understand everything you're saying, sir, because I know, like how you talked about it, how the church members themselves would give their tithes, and the tithes themselves would gather, and in communities where it was needed, they would disperse the funds that was collected. And mostly in the churches, the wealthy also go to many of the churches in the country. So the wealthy who run some of these big businesses and big businessmen and women in Arsenal Providence, they themselves go to the church, so they give their tithes, and their tithes go to the programs. So I was referring to that. But I'm saying that some of the individuals surrounding the neighborhoods, like you said, I think, you know, if we were to really focus on our communities and the church get resources from entities that go to the church, you know, like I said, you know, like back in the day, the rich and wealthy who are in the church, it's their money. They work hard and they want to give back. And I think that if we plan better as a body and we set ourselves, you know, let's take care of our members in the church, make sure that they get their house. Many of them must make sure that their house are taken care of. And then we have something to give to the community which is in dire need of it. And we do a survey. And we make it a part of the church, you know, program to go in the inner city community and to give back, you know. And that's a program that we started with Pastor Hugh LaRolle, you know. I was, again, a non-paid consultant. And when he asked me how the church can help, and I said that if we can start to back the schools, if we could clean up some of the yards, if we could fix some of the houses. And he said that, you know, he would go and talk to some of his members, and then he would use his position as a pastor to see if he could get government to assist or some people who he know himself personally to make some things happen in the community. So that's what I'm talking about as well, you know, using the connection that the church have, because there's nobody in this country besides politics has more connection to church, because in many of the churches, some of the most richest and powerful set of people are in the churches, and we could use that to our benefit So if you're a pastor, you could talk and say, you know what, in our community, there's some problems. Let's have a rich kid, some hoses and stuff like that. Let's take care of our members first, and then we could go and help those who are neighbors in our church community. Okay? So things like that. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Brown. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm fine.
Yeah, you know, school, I've been following you quite some time, you know, but, and I'll say this, you know, don't have a crime problem in the Bahamas. They always say this.
Yes, sir.
What we do have, though, and when I first started my advocacy, it was just a poorly socialization of our black males.
Yes, sir.
But now we have our girls who are also poorly socialized.
Yes.
Let's look at it. But people do innocent. I grew up in innocent. The only people who are killing up one another, and I said this on your show before a few years back, I'm going to say it again. The only people who are committing all of this violence and brutality and mayhem on our streets are people who look like me and you.
Yes, black people.
The white Bahamians are not killing up one another.
No, not one.
The Chinese are not killing up
one another. Not one.
Check on all the murders for the last 10 years, and I would go on record and say 99% of them were committed by black people who look like me and you.
Yes.
And about 99% of the perpetrators, of the victims, were people who look like me and you.
Yes, sir.
So this isn't rocket science. It ain't like we have all demographics of people living in our society committing crime. Just our black people. So why aren't we addressing this problem? You know,
yes.
I'll say this. As a black Bahamian, I am embarrassed as a black man. And I'll say this, I don't care what no one says. Cleaver Duncan is my name. But I'm saying this, and I want to make a public apology to all the white people in the Bahamas, all the white Bahamians, because they know how to conduct themselves. The same thing they know how to conduct themselves.
They do.
The statistics are there. To be independent, you know. We wanted to take this country over. And look at what we did in 52 years.
When we take it over.
You know, right now, Nassau is the most dangerous place, one of the most dangerous places on planet Earth.
And listen, we only have 21 by 7. You see what I'm saying now?
21 by 7.
Mr. Duncan, you're right. You're saying the same thing. That's how serious it is.
You know, and then, you know, look, you're a politician. Two persons who run, who vie for office, they don't understand statistics. They don't understand our socioeconomic challenges.
It seems
this way. You know, I'm going to say this. You are politicians who have been celebrating when we do under 100 murders in a particular year.
That's a stupid ass. That's a stupid ass.
Standard, you were saying it, you know. The world standard, according to the WHO, the world standard is 5 murders per 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So in our worst case, for just over 400,000, let's say we have 500,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
In our worst case scenario, we should be doing around 25 per
murders.
Year.
25 murders per year.
We are doing over 100. And when we do under it, politicians celebrate.
We're
living in an armed conflict zone. You said it right. That's when you're doing around 35 murders per 100,000. It becomes a conflict zone,
and we are conflict zone.
But then you have persons who have the mic in their hand holding on these talk shows.
And they don't understand
statistics.
No.
They don't understand the severity of what we are dealing with.
Yeah.
They're all sitting in the same position. They're singing to their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will never take a person like a Cleaver Duncan and make me a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And these problems are not rocket science, you know. These are easy fix. Let me show you something. You know, and I hope some paid consultant is listening to when I speak, right? Let me show you what is going on with crime, Scrooge.
Go ahead, sir.
When you go into the inner city, this is what you see. Because I did some research in Farm Road. I did some in Bayonetown. But this is what you see. You see a lot of persons. And tell me if I'm wrong.
Go ahead. You see a lot of persons
who have uncertainty is about their future.
They don't know what they want to do with their future.
Exactly.
Nothing. They don't know what they want to do. Go ahead, Mr. Duncan. I'm sorry for interrupting
you. They have lower grades.
I agree with you. I agree with you again.
They have, this one is very important because when they are children, You know what we say? We see them when they have difficulties relating to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
But when they become an adult, they say, oh, they have to learn how to resolve conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You see it at primary school levels. You see it at junior high levels. But we just, you know, ignore it. Then you have the young girls.
Mm-hmm.
Very committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
They get impregnated at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the homes are spearheaded by single mothers.
Mm-hmm.
When we know, you know, talk about child abuse,
mm-hmm.
then we know
mm-hmm.
the statistics bears that stepfathers,
mm-hmm.
boyfriends,
mm-hmm.
family friends,
mm-hmm.
they are
mm-hmm.
six times more likely to sexually abuse children in their care
mm-hmm.
than the biological father.
And those same children who get sexually abusive are going to be the next criminals in the next 60 and 70 years.
It's another alarming statistic. It's another alarming statistic.
Go ahead.
You check out the U.S. prison.
Mm-hmm.
80% of those who were incarcerated
are single father.
Were abused as a child.
As a child.
At some point.
In the U.S. prison.
And we've been averaging over 450
mm-hmm.
reported cases of various forms of child abuse.
In the country.
15 to 20 years. And guess what? The statistics show that once for every one that goes
mm-hmm.
reported,
mm-hmm.
at least four goes unreported.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the situation that we find ourselves in.
Uh-huh. And you see, Mr. Duncombe, you just named off about 10
mm-hmm.
of the key problems we face in the country, and our leaders are not addressing it.
No, they don't want to. Because it's big business, you know. Crime is big business in the Bahamas, you know. Who are they going to replace these judges with when they reduce crime? How are these undertakers who are giving them money for their campaign? How are they going to function when the numbers drop?
But Mr. Duncan, you remember the other day when the funeral home undertaker said that so much people, that's when we had them, we had about 27 murders in the month of January. And they say that they had to refuse bodies because they couldn't deal with the volume of people who needed to get buried. You remember that about a year and a half, I think it was 2 years ago? They came on the news and said that's how much people. So if the funeral homes were refusing body, and you're saying now that is big business, you know, if there's no lawyers and et cetera, so crime is big business. Boy, there's some crazy
crime is big business in the Bahamas.
I know.
See the challenge? We are faced with the same challenge that our slave masters were faced with before they freed the slaves. You know,
yes.
They forced the free slaves years earlier, you know, but the question was, in the Rome was, when we free these slaves, who are we going to replace them with?
Yeah. They replace them with.
So right now.
They place them with the host niggas, and then they replace us as the maid. Then they use us as the replacement, as the maid.
Exactly.
You see, the host niggas are the guys. Hey, watch Django. Hey, Samuel L. Jackson, that's the best. Boy, that's the best actor I ever see from a black body.
if I were a minister of national security, I would numbers, right? I would be viewing and watching these numbers, you know. But I don't think they give a damn about what's going on.
No, they have the numbers. Like you're saying, you're supposed to be addressing it.
No, but I'm saying, when you look at the perpetrators
mm-hmm.
and the victims of crime, you see 99 are basically, it could even be higher than that, you know. But when you look at the numbers and you see it's only black people who are becoming victims of these
mm-hmm.
serious crimes and the perpetrators to these particular things, shouldn't you pause and try to ask yourself, what are we doing differently in our community than the white community? What are we doing? Some people say, oh, Mr. Duncombe, you know, the blacks outweigh the whites,
mm-mm.
so you will always have more crime being committed. But how many white persons commit murder over the last 5 years?
Can't really tell you. No, can't really tell.
Because there ain't none. I remember they had one, Ms. Vaselli, who was charged
with killing
the rich white lady.
Yeah.
You know? But other than that, I haven't heard.
That ain't even 1%. Because there's no numbers.
This is a genocide that you're seeing here happening in the Bahamas.
That's right.
This is a deliberate extermination
of Bahamian people.
It's deliberate. No one can't tell me it isn't deliberate.
Because we have all the statistics. If I could come here from a guy on the streets, right, and I'm being to no college, I could read, and I could tell you, 1 in 5 teens attempted suicide, and we are not taking it serious. We have a high child abuse, verbal abuse, divorce is the highest it's been in the last couple of years in the Bahamas, corruption. Baby, go ahead, sir.
You know, let's look at these consultants. I bet you none of these consultants who are serving in the National Security Ministry who are making big bucks, I bet you not one of them are producer white people. And this thing is so easy to fix. It's just social and economic.
Thank you.
And there are only three ways to fix it. It's through legislation, policy, and programs.
Yes. Funded programs. Consistently funded programs, nonstop, cannot be stopped from neither government who comes in power, just continuous.
We don't have no mountains. We don't have no terrain.
So continuous.
This is a flat 21/7 island where the bulk of the crime is being committed.
Yes.
But our problem is, these officials, their left hand is open to bribe and their right hand is corrupt.
That's right, and they blind it. And they're blinded. They're blinded.
While we are all, and it seems, I mean, the minister, the National Security Minister made a statement, oh, crime is down.
Crime is down.
Bill.
He's a fool. No disrespect,
it's
but he's
down
a fool.
Because it seems as if that every time they get elected and they get these police surrounding them, protecting them, they feel as if that crime is down because they are protected.
Mr. Duncan, if crime is down,
we
can hit 100 murders at the end of the year. Yes. So how could crime be? How? If we're hitting 100 murders every year, how? Because what? House breaking? But the number one crime is murder. If crime down, how come we always finish at 100? What statistics? If we have averaging 100 every year, how could it be done? And every time you look in the news, someone getting shoot left and right. And there's no safe spot in our zone now.
No safe spot. You see, then you find children. Remember the young boy, Trooper Dean Lane, who got gunned down doing his homework?
Yes.
There's another young boy in Foxville who got gunned down watching TV.
Yes.
There's a lady who was going to church to pray, and she got shot with a stray bullet.
Yes.
So not only the person who the intended targets are dying, the unintended targets are also dying.
Yeah, because the guys who shoot the gun, they're completely idiots, and they don't know how to shoot, and they just blinded, and they shooting innocent people, because again...
And you're trying to tell me, the politicians will try to make us to believe that they cannot... I don't support hanging. I do support lethal injection, though.
Okay.
I do support making it gender neutral, so... Whether a male or a female commit a murder and is found guilty, you could put them to sleep.
Yes.
But you'll never see a woman being hanged in the Bahamas in our lifetime.
That don't make
It'll
no
never
sense.
Happen. So they need to move with lethal injection. But these politicians, it seems to me that they have committed some treasonous act and they're afraid to implement the death penalty because they themselves may be found wanting.
Thank you, man.
That could be the only logical conclusion that I can come to as to why they don't want to implement the death penalty.
Yes, thank you, man. The phone lines
but
right
be
now.
In problem. Be yes, in sir. Problem. And we as black people are creating the problem.
Yes.
If you remove all of us from out of this Bahamas, the Bahamas will be one of the most safest places on planet.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan. Thank you. You did a wonderful job. Yeah, made some very, very interesting points, and I appreciate you. You did a wonderful job. Yeah, everything he said is the truth. You know, he knocked the nail on the head. We're gonna take this next call, please. Good night.
Hello.
Good night. Good night.
Hey, good night, my friend. Boy, I could sit and listen to him for the rest of my life because he's speaking truth.
Yes, he's speaking truth.
Yeah, man. The most other radio stations. When he speaks, they try to shut him down.
Mm.
But, you know, then there's a couple others who call in to the radio stations, and they really, hit the nail on the head.
Yes.
They drive the nail right through.
Yeah. Right through.
You know what I mean?
Right through.
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, sadly, there are some persons who are born retired.
Mm.
They have no reason to hustle because they weren't born struggling like I was.
Mm.
And I could clearly remember as a 15, 14-year-old, I was shooting pool with some white boys, Conquer Joe boys, and they was using their drugs. I didn't even know what it was. They were happy and they were socialized. And they introduced me to it, and I say, wow, you know, but they weren't fighting amongst one another. You know, they planned to come out for the evening to shoot pool.
Yes, sir.
And they just enjoyed themselves, and they went back home.
Yeah, they were more social.
Right. You see, they didn't have that stress level.
Yes.
And they weren't polluted.
Yes.
Like you know, we grow up drinking this water. I don't know the water name, but we drinking this water that's just messing us up. But, but you know, the Bible clearly says that the leaves of the trees.
Yes.
Are for the healing of the nation, right?
Yes, yes, sir.
But what we don't know is the best time to pick the leaves are like early in the morning when the oil, like, you know, you smell jasmine in the night.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Why are you going to pick the jasmine to get the oil from the jasmine in the day when the oil and run down to the root?
Okay. So it's a particular time, it's best time to get it.
When you can get any of your leaves for herbal medicinal value, you should get it while the dew is still on it.
Oh, wow, early in the morning.
Yeah,
wow.
But we don't do that. See, we weren't taught that.
That's new for me. I'm going to do that because, you know, I love my grains. I drink my moringa leaf tea.
Yeah.
I drink my guava. I drink my soursop leaf tea. And most my moringa. My moringa. You know the Spanish time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now you need to go get it before the sun.
Thank you.
Down.
Thank you.
Think about that.
And
right?
I know. I wonder why it smells so fresh in the morning. You know, like when you get up early, you smell all the fragrance of the leaves. You know, I smell the soursop leaf. Yeah. You smell all of them early in the morning for two, sir.
You know, are you feeling me?
Yes, sir. You're right.
And the thing is, so there's spiritual healing also.
Yes.
But you find that most countries that have no trees, like Haiti, look at up in the east, Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Those people can't reason, you know.
Oh.
And when you walk the street, you got 5 million men on the street one time.
Yes.
All right? And all them talking the same time. You know, but you can't even understand what nobody's saying. So you see, the confusion comes when you cut down all your trees.
Yes, sir.
And you're not using your leaves.
Yes, sir.
You know, your mental.
Yes.
You hold, because, and if we continue to allow our ecosystem to collapse into that.
Yes, sir.
That's where we will be heading.
Wow.
But I want to ask you something.
Go ahead, sir. If I could answer it.
Yeah, well, think about this for a minute.
Go ahead, sir.
If I come from Mars and I apply for a Bahamian passport.
Oh, Lord.
Go ahead, sir. Will my passport be written or given to me in the Martian language or in the Bahamian language?
It got to be. All right. If you come from Mars and you come to the Earth.
Yeah.
Which language should it be written into?
Should it be written in English or Martian?
English.
Well, why are there Bahamian passports written in Creole?
Well, you got to ask our government, ask the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and ask the Immigration Department, and ask the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
You see what's happening here?
Ask those guys. Ask the Minister of Foreign Affairs. That's the Honorable Fred Mitchell. And then you need to ask the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and ask the Director of the Ministry of Education. I meant Ministry of Immigration, excuse me.
But you see what's happening here, right?
Yes, sir. I get the point.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a replacement in play.
Uh-huh.
And it's not going to succeed.
Okay.
But it's in play. And,
so the Bahamian people see it?
Hope,
The Bahamian people, you think they see it?
No, I said it's not going to succeed.
Oh, no, I say you think the Bahamian people see it?
No. See, sadly... The organization that's in power now have a lot of blind followers.
Okay.
You know, they just follow. They're not thinkers like that. Now, there's some who are thinkers, and I hope this time around they can clearly see what's in front of them and make a decision. If you can't, there's no point in going to church on Sunday.
Also, okay, that's what I was talking about, Christianity as well.
You know, stay home and play with yourself, man.
Yes, sir.
Because you're really wasting your time if you're going to see somebody who you elected actually giving your country away, but you still gonna put him back to give it. There's something that's fundamentally wrong with that, and this is where we're heading. So let's just hope we can all wake up and fix this before it's too late.
Okay.
You know, because you have now these persons who are here, they're applying for, like, they get a license to have rental cars. Well, guess what? The people who they rent the cars to don't have driver's license. That's why when they knock you, they can't stop.
Wow.
Okay?
Okay.
And this is the culture that we are breathing so, right in front of
so
us.
So what you're saying now, some of these drive-by, because I see in the newspaper a lot of those people didn't have no license and stuff. You're saying it's, so this is true, you know? A lot of those drive-by.
Look at the jitney drivers on 15A, 15.
Why? So that's why they still won't stop, because they have no driver's license.
How they gonna stop? Because they rent this car.
Oh, Lord.
From someone who, I you understand the culture play here?
Yeah, I see. Yes, sir.
So So I hope that PLPs, and I rarely talk about the PLPs now.
Oh, Lord.
I hope they could clearly wake up and see the reason why they need to vote for anybody else other than the PLP.
Oh, Lord.
Because that's the only way we can address this.
Oh, Lord.
All right, I'm not saying don't vote. Simply saying don't vote PLP. Because if you vote PLP, you're going to pee on yourself.
Oh, Lord.
All right?
Yes, yes, it's
fine,
opinion.
I appreciate you tolerating me, but I hope to call
thank you. No,
again.
No, you have free will. You speak on some points, and that is your point of view. You know, you have your rights to speak, sir. And thank you very much. You did a wonderful job. You know, that's his opinion. He gave you his 2 cents. You know, and like I say, you can't persuade no one to vote for no particular party. What are you saying? Do the right thing. I don't know if not voting for the PLP is going to doing the right thing, or voting for them would be doing the right thing, or voting for the FNM would be doing the right thing, or not voting for the FNM would not be doing the right thing. I don't know. Or voting for the Coalition of Independence might be doing the right thing. I don't know. All I know is one thing I can say. We need a leader and leaders in all fronts, the church, community, government, business-wise, to have one objective, and that's to address the issues of 5 teens attempting suicide. And we have a government official, part of the health policy unit, what's her name? Miss Claretta Moxie from the Ministry of Health, and she said that the finding they have found is that the health and wellness of teens has worsened dramatically. As a whole, the finding presents a spark and sobering truth. Our teens, listen, Beeman, our teens, not the FNM teens, not the PLP teens, not the Coalition teens, not the church teens, the Bahamas teens, okay, are facing more complex, more dangerous, and more emotionally burdensome realities than any other generation before them. You know what that means? We're getting worse. Yeah, we are doing good business. We're doing good governance. But when it comes to dealing with the people, we are doing worse. Last call. Go ahead, caller. We can take one more after this as well. Go ahead, caller. Sorry for taking so long.
No problem, school. Good evening, brother. Hope you're doing good, man. Good
yes,
show,
sir.
Brother.
Thank you.
Listen, I totally agree with Cleaver when he's talking about them things, right? But, I mean, him and another caller was talking about how white people behave versus how we behave. Now, we can't forget history, all right? You know, their seeming stability caused us our stability. Mm. You understand where I'm coming from? And I mean, you look in history, ain't nobody in the world as violent as white people, all right? They used to stay having wars, and even today right now, you know what I mean? Look who causing the wars and fighting all the wars and killing innocent people all over the world, all right? So let's not talk about black people. Our circumstance is because of the history that we have had. You know what I mean? Now, what we need to do is we need to focus on how we're going to reverse what caused us to be in this situation. And that's why when I was listening to Cleaver, I mean, I hear him talk about legislation and different things. It would be good if we could put out clear, simple solutions. And I feel one of the clearest, simple solutions, Scrooge, is if we could get an education system that teaches all of the necessary faculties that children need before they come out of school.
Yes.
So we don't have to introduce no programs. You know what I mean? We can make the education system in school adequate to put out the type of human being we want. And we don't need to bring no special program here and special program and make the school system adequate. And the guy you was talking about, those ill Scrooge, I was shocked to hear them things, rise in suicide and how much young youth carrying weapon and all them different things, all them statistics they was calling off this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But just like with the de-average education in the school, they ain't talking no solutions.
Mm-mm.
They ain't talking no programs to curb these things.
Just back and forth.
So 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, when society is even worse, then we shouldn't be wondering why, because this is why we're dealing with the things we're dealing with right now, you see. But like I say, I only call to say that's a good, you know, it's a good show you have been, but we need to talk about the solutions more. We can't be blaming black people necessarily for our circumstances.
Yes.
We can't forget what we've been through. You know what I mean? This is not us.
Yes.
You understand? This is them.
Yes, sir.
You understand? This is them. And one last thing, democracy. Let me tell you something, Scrooge. Democracy and capitalism, those are systems that were created by the Europeans and the Greeks. Democracy and capitalism are systems of the devil, but they are not designed to bring about the kind of society we're looking for.
Yes, yes.
All right, so we need to look deep into our problem when we're talking about the solution. But go to your brother, and continue to listen.
Yeah, and thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. My friend, Mr. Bryce, Elroy Bryce, say crime is a big business. You can take this last call. Caller, you can come in and talk for 3 minutes, please, if you don't mind. But I just want to read this comment, please. My friend say, hey, remember, this Elroy Bryce, bro, the government knows poverty breeds crime. They do not want to fix it. They want it this way. We have been in the streets long enough to know when the police want to lock this crowd down, they do. Crime is big business for the government, bro. And it is. You know, because I can tell you some things been going around court where I watch prosecutors and then take bribes and then, man, sitting out listening, man. You know, some serious stuff going on in our courts too, you know. They're merciful in the courts as well, you know. There's a lot that we need to really get to know what's going on. All right? There's a lot of stuff we need to, you know, I ain't disagreeing with no one said, but we do have a black and black crop syndrome in our country, and we are fighting on one another as black men because the police are black. They beat black brothers bad in the prison, beaming people, black brothers, you know, in the stations, okay? And we ourselves are killing police. We kill a decent inspector today, and he has a family, you know. So what are we doing? Black and black. If you look at politics, the man in charge, the last officer, Roland Simonet, we have had black prime ministers. We had Sir Lyndon for 25 years. He's a black man. And the whole cabinet is black. Okay? For 25 years. After him, we had Hubert Ingraham. He did 15. When Mr. Christie did a 5-year period in that. All of them are black. And you look at the cabinet, right? All of them are black as well, right? And we could say the Europeans started this initiative, right? But black men who are black, they wasting the Europeans because the black man ain't in prison smuggling drugs or beating his fellow black brothers. The black man ain't there raising taxes on the innocent and poor people in this country, raising the light bill, raising the water bill, raising the cable bill, raising the gas prices, building supply, got their own companies. Black man, not the white man. They're doing business with the white man. The white man are very generous, you know. And the black man is the one who increased the prices. If you watch the prices of oil, what they're selling it for the dollar. And then when the big business gas mongols over here, they raise the prices and charge our government. So in some instances, it's black on black. Yes, the white man, without our degree, started that. But if you look at it right now, black on black. BLPF and them, the prison, black against, prison officers against the black, the police against the citizen against the police. Me and you, brothers and sisters killing up one another, 100 plus murders. You know, no white man they're killing up one another. Now they might be selling the guns. Right? So let me look at it. Black and black. Now, in the last 50-some years in the country, and we're destroying one another, not the white man. Not the white man. We can't point the finger at the white man. We can point our fingers at them. Those guys leave us here, and the only way you could reach them if you do business with them. So right now, it's those same leaders. We can take this last call. Go ahead, caller.
Squidgy.
Hey, good night.
Man, I had to call back, man. Squidgy, yesterday, Roland, man, Chippenham area. Who run the Chippenham? What would that be? Or which candidate was to be running for the PLP in Chippenham?
Alfred says he ain't running no more. So I know they don't have no one running.
Yeah, Alfred says no one running, boy. But I tell you one thing,
stepping
up. Yesterday's like, boy, they feel we got some fresh new shade, boy.
Yeah.
Fresh, and guess what?
Hey.
Guess who are they?
Who that?
Asian man, Ariano, five of them seats stock up, and hard one on the two clean and fresh.
Boy, boss, listen, I can go on this. You're wasting your time. But you're wasting your time if you thinking about the Asian people. The Asian people embedded in our politics in this country, man.
I know you.
The Haitian people embedded in our politics. The Haitian people are embedded in our political parties, both the PLP and the FNM. That's what they're doing, what they're doing.
I mean, they got to wait for the whole line.
But anyway.
What about that third party?
They need voters as well. In order for them to stand a chance, they need people of the origin, which I don't.
That's why online they have the voice messages and pre votes for the boy party.
What's
that? See that, huh? They got voice messages and pre votes, man. He's pondering just like that from the PLP boy. I know which party the most for. You ain't voting for them.
Yeah, I know.
It got to be like that.
Anyway, let me just read this last thing. What's I know. All I can say is don't focus on that. Try focus on yourself and try to get yourself strong. Praise God. Get hatred out of your heart. Focus on your life, you know. Get your little group together and strategize. I want to read something real quick. I don't need that. Alcohol use in the Nassau Guardian. It states here alcohol use among teens at crisis level. All right, 3 out of 4 teens who brought alcohol never asked to show an ID. Report says, there's no laws and regulation in our bars and all. Okay, let me read this quick. A report from the Ministry of Health raised dire concerns over the levels of substance use amongst Bahamian teens. As she highlighted, the findings in the Global School Health Report 2025, Dr. Moxie again. From the Ministry Policy Unit, said the rise is deeply concerning. She said alcohol use in particular is at crisis level. Oh, Lord. What? Listen, people. You all listen, they telling you. Listen, you see all this crisis with this woman talking about? And you all got time to be warm with Brave Davis and Michael Pintard? Yes. These leaders have to be more concerned about these statistics. If the prime minister is not coming on or the opposition is not coming on and speaking on these statistics, they don't know what the hell they're doing in this country, and they're not concerned, and they're not going to be able to fix it. Brave Davis is a good prime minister doing business, okay? Him and Chester Cooper, okay? Chester Cooper is doing a great job of developing his community to avoid these type of conflicts in his community, right? The prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has one of the most toughest tasks. He has to find a way and how he can trickle down funds to support these in it, to stop the start programs in these communities to counteract these type of activities by our young teens in the country. Okay? Let me just read this quick. Right? The report arises from survey of more than 2,000 Bahamian students in public school and private school across the islands. The results were compared to those of, let me go to page 10, correct? You know, where page 10 is? I can't even see good. Okay, where it is? Come on, page 10. Where it is? All right, I get it. All right. Okay, yeah, reach out. Surveys undertaken in 1998 and 2013. That's my time when you say 1998. This survey also has to do with us. This one we used to be drinking all around and doing all the foolishness. We were the first gang groups in the country. We were the first gangs in the country. Raiders, Syndicate, Border Boys, Mason Murderers, and Gun Dogs, and Junglers, and all those stuff. Moxie noted that in the latest survey, 34% of teens were active drinkers. These kids now. But drinking rising sixfold by 2% in 1998 to 12%. Drunkenness also climbed from 21% to 27%. Three out of every four teenagers who purchase alcohol were never asked to show an ID despite the legal drinking age of 18, Moxie said. It also relates to other substance. 21.8% of Bahamian teens reportedly use illegal drugs. I tell you, if you go into school right now and you take drug tests, but probably half of the school or three quarters of school on marijuana and drinking rum. So, Brave Davis, excuse my language, this inside anything I mean business, I talk real life, I come from this. Y'all better stop. Opposition leader Michael Bentard, with all these statistics we're reading here tonight to show you we're in crisis mode, you better stop. And excuse me, producer Lincoln Bain, you're looking to be the next prime minister of the Commonwealth. The mamas, you better come up with a scratch. You understand these statistics. Y'all are always talking about this and that and this route in parliament. Our country is a failed state. Our country is a crisis zone. Our country in inner city is poor and we need support. Hey, if you guys don't come up with the right set of programs and consistent programs in these inner city communities, you're all dooming us. Okay? Suicide, drug use, hey. Okay. Let me just read this last thing. Where are you going? All right. As relate to other substance, they use drugs. More than half said they have their first exposure by the age of 13. Lifetime cocaine use, in particular, surged tenfold from 1% in 1998 to 12% in 2023. I thought the cocaine thing was over. What the hell going on in this country? Cocaine on the rise from the 80s? Hell, what are we doing? This represents one of the sharpest increases across any indicator in the report. She noted that lifetime marijuana use also has doubled over that period, while the use of synthetic drugs creep from 4% to 5%. The report also noted that 16.5% of teens said obtaining illegal drugs is fairly easy. 14% of teens said they live in houses where drugs are used. 13% admitted to using drugs and alcohol, reported attending school under the influence, going to school drunk, going to school high. Right? So you wonder why they fighting the teachers and they ain't lying in? Okay? Moxie said, cigarette usage is emerging as a major concern. Cigarette is when you get stressed. You 13, 14, 15, what kind of head stress you get? You just come at your mother womb. What? You know the kind of stress the children face? Single parent? These kids, them end up becoming parents because their parents got to go and work and they leave these kids home by themselves. Time? Someone call? Huh? Well, check my phone. Or my phone, eh? Someone went. Okay. 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 I'm also want to apologize to the listening audience because I just get emotional on air. And I like to try to be professional as best as I can. And I want to apologize to the listening audience for my wildcore behavior because I also have the set example. But I get frustrated because I've been to these meetings for 20, 30 years telling these leaders about what our country faces in this country. And I just get frustrated knowing that they're playing with our lives when you have all these statistics here. And our leaders are responsible for the deaths, the health. Because when you wire to be leaders of the country, you wire in to be leaders, you have to think about what the country residents face when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to child abuse, when it comes to murder, and understanding all these things fall under one category, and we keep on going back and forth. And I represent the less fortunate out there, and I know what the majority of Bahamians are going through in this country. So I apologize. Okay, because I was chosen to come and speak for the less fortunate, okay? And I get emotional because I know that as a country, as the Bahamas, which is one of the richest countries in the world, there's nowhere in the world that we have to be living like this in this country with all of these statistics pointing to the destruction of the Bahamas, and all of this is that everyone is okay with this. Oh, I with Brave Davis or I with Michael Bentat, all of them are exceptionally great human beings, okay? But you got to understand, you got a country to save. You got lives to save. You talk about this Christian. What Christian is supposed to be? What's the church's job? The church is to go out there and change people's lives. To turn sinners away from doing wicked things, right? They become law-abiding citizens, okay? So I just want to apologize to the listening audience and those who listen to the show and listen to Guardian. I apologize. But I just want you to know that I've been doing this for over 30 years. And I've done this freely, given the government many, many solutions, and many solutions are being passed in Parliament. It's passed in Parliament, but yet still we are not enforcing them. It's crazy. So, again, I apologize for my bad behavior. It's only because I care about my country. I see what's about to happen. I know what's coming for our country. Every one of us in this country is going to be crying for a loved one who is going to be a victim of rape, who is going to be murdered, you know, who is never going to have a chance to fulfill their dreams like Vijay Edgecombe or Buddy Hield or DeAndre Ayton. Only the very few who go out and have the opportunity and are able to succeed. But that could be an opportunity for many of our citizens of this country if our government just focus and start to invest more in our inner city communities and in programs that are going to be beneficial. You know, we're giving IMPs $150,000 a year. What $150,000 could do for an MP like Mr. Watson, who does a good job in being a grandstand? But what can he do with $150,000 when the government is signing contracts for hundreds of millions? But yet still they're only investing like $1 million into funds for the whole cabinet ministers. To do what? Huh? To do what? All these statistics, you know, and the Guardian did a wonderful job. This is what I like about, this is what I love this edition of the Nassau Guardian today. 1 in 5 teens attempted suicide. Data shows a medical health crisis amongst teens, officially said. Alcohol use amongst teens at a crisis level. 3 out of 4 teens who bought alcohol never asked to show ID. More teens engaged in unprotected sex. Last police. I'm going right now. New figures from the Ministry of Health have revealed that while fewer Bahamian teens are having sex compared to years prior, a large percentage are having unprotected sex. The Global School Health Report 2025 provide results from a survey of 2,213 students in 35 public schools and private schools across 8 islands, New Providence, Grand Bahama, again, Andres, Abaco, Berry Islands, Eleuthera, Exuma, and Inagua. It found that in 2023, 28% of the teens reported having sex compared to 41% of 1998. And this is our time. 1998 is our time. And it's get worse. You know? You know, and again, I apologize on behalf of Guardian Radio. You know, I represent the people in this country that's fortunate. And like I said, I have the set example. I just get emotional, people, you know. I'm one of the nicest places in the world, but I get emotional because I know we could do better in this country. And I apologize for my comments when it comes to those words tonight. And to the kids, I'm very passionate. I'm fighting for you guys, you know. All of you, I'm fighting for the old, I'm fighting for the young, I'm fighting for the Bahamas because I see the problems we face in this country. All of those teens that was in the Nassau Guardian today, in the newspaper, shows you the problems we're in. And none of this has been a national topic. So again, I apologize for my bad behavior. And I'm the host, Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio. And again, thank you for listening to all the callers. You guys did a wonderful job of calling in and giving your input, which is very, very important. Again, I'm not a certified doctor, but I'm well educated, and I could read between the lines. And there's no one in this country who can put together all of these statistics that was in the newspaper and tell you what we are facing in the country today. So on behalf of National Guardian and myself, I'm Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie Screwers, host of the talk show Inside NCTV. We'll see you next week, Friday, on Guardian Radio 96.9. Drive safe. Bless up, Elroy Bryce.
If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke in that road. Boy, I from the dark road.
Oh, my son, that's what happened.